When you hear the word holy, what first comes to mind? We're having congregation participation here. What first comes to mind when you hear the word holy? Anyone?
I see these big arches of one of these ancient cathedrals, like Chartres.
Oh, okay.
Endless up there, flying.
Okay.
Quiet.
What?
Angel.
Angel. Anyone else? What comes to mind when you... What?
Lord.
Lord. Just the word. Lord. Anyone else? Holy.
Clean.
Clean. Others.
Reverence.
Reverence. Others? How do you describe something like this? Holy. It's almost indescribable. Like that doctrine we call Trinity. We get lost when we try to actually put into words what that really means. But we know that it emphasizes that God is just so much bigger than our ability to comprehend and to describe. Right? Holy. This morning I want to talk about holy callings. Because what we have just heard is a portion, and there was more to that story, of a holy calling. When God reached out to a man by the name of Isaiah and called him to be a prophet. Now, those words that I just used, just sort of like the word holy, are words that we sort of back away from. Prophet, that's somebody else. Saint, somebody else. Calling, oh, no, no, no. That's somebody other than me. Other. Other. Did you know that other is a word that we sometimes think about in describing holy? Because to say that God is holy is to say that we are not. That God is the other who goes beyond our understanding. Just as a reminder, our Jewish friends never utter the name of the Lord because the name itself is so holy. It is beyond our grasp. When the Bible says, do not take the Lord's name in vain, it is not saying us, telling us to, oh, just stop cursing. It is calling us not to grasp and use God's name for our own purposes. That God is not something or someone to be batted around with and to be used. God is radically free. Which, if we look to what He has done to His people, for His people over through the years, what He has done through His Son, then we are radically free as well. But back to Isaiah. Back to Isaiah and the calling of this man who had a vision. Now, I don't know if any of you have ever had a vision like this. Probably not. You would probably, as you're reading this, saying, ooh, you know, if you perhaps ran into somebody on the street telling you a story like this, what would be your first thought? Maybe a homeless person describing something like this. Huh, I wonder whether maybe this was one of those persons who should not have been released from a mental institution. You know, sometimes the visionaries in this world and we may seem as a little addle-brained. We might even call them schizophrenic. Vision. Now, I'd like to encourage you not to place the word vision so far away from you and so other than you that you do not see that vision is something for you, that calling is something for you. Is holding a calling that Isaiah received as described for us, passed down to us. I purposely yelled those words. I didn't know what to say. I mean, I was just going by the description. The words shook the temple, right? Shook Isaiah into awareness. Just like God's word should on occasion, perhaps all the time, kind of shake us awake. What was Isaiah's response upon seeing all this, upon hearing all of this? I think his first response was probably the same as our worst first response when we hear the word holy, when we hear the word calling, when we hear the word vision. It's not me. I am a man of unclean lips. Live among a people of unclean lips. Whoever said clean and unclean, you know, that gets into a whole realm of, you know, we're not talking about good personal hygiene here. We're talking about sin and things that are down on our level, but also much bigger than we are. I guess where I'm trying to go with this is that Isaiah did not, you know, he perceived enough of himself to know that he didn't belong there, in that place. And that was his way of saying it. He was all too inadequate to be there in the very presence of God in that vision. He was not himself holy. Unless, of course, by holy, you mean shot full of holes. Let me think about that for a minute. You know, there are different, we could play on that word a little bit. You know, holy, sometimes I think of holy, and this is not altogether a good biblical interpretation, but I think of holy as, especially in relation to us, as, you know, awareness of how our trusting, our faith, our righteousness, our ability to live out what God is calling to us is whole, full of holes. You know, when we try to hold up, pour what's that God wishes to give us into us, you know, it just kind of pours out of the holes in us. And, you know, how can we contain God's holiness? And actually, I want to say to you that that's not a bad thing. That Jesus didn't come in as a little Dutch boy to put his finger into those holes, to patch them, to somehow fix up those holes in who we are. But that those holes are, if you will, in a way made sacred by God's holiness. Because when we think about the really holy people in this world, you know, the people we might call a saint, these are people that when you look at them, you are actually sort of able to kind of look through those holes and see God. God shines through those holes. Not because they standing before us are so perfect that they show us what, you know, the way we should be in their own righteousness and their own saintliness and their own holiness. But that they almost become transparent. There is less of me and more of God, if you will. But you can see something that is far bigger than yourselves. I love that children's story, didn't you? That story of little nut brown hair and big nut brown hair. And how, no matter how much little nut brown hair tried to describe love for big nut brown hair, it was never enough. I love you this much. And big nut brown, well, I love you this much. You know, like just like God and God's holiness is always so much bigger than what we are. I want to tell you that I believe that each of us has a holy calling. Each of us. It is not meant only for persons like Isaiah, or only for official folks like preachers or teachers or pastors or, you know, nuns or whatever. Each of us has a holy calling. Now think what I said about holy, especially, you know, kind of taking that words and talking about the holes in yourself. As we think about the holy callings that we have, and I don't think it's just one holy calling that we have in our life. The callings that we have in life are often things that, you know, as we face into them, we feel very inadequate to the task. I mean, those among you who have been parents, when you began that journey, did you feel up to the task? Did you think, I can do this, no problem? Or did you kind of shake in your boots a little bit at the prospect? Now, as a man, I didn't have to face, you know, the very beginning of parenthood like one of our young persons just recently did. But, you know, in facing into this giving birth business, how on earth can this happen? Okay, forgive me for being, I'll try not to be too graphic, but for something so big to come into this world through something so small. I can't do this. Our callings often feel very beyond our ability, and that's okay. And I'd like to tell you that, you know, the moment that we come to the realization that, this is a breeze, I can do this, no problem, is the moment of our not-so-calling. Right? I've got to tell you that there are still days when I don't think I can do this. This preaching, I mean, been doing it for how many years? There are days when I feel very inadequate to the task. And I confess that there are days when I wonder, am I just faking it? If we don't have that kind of humility, if we aren't like Isaiah saying, you know, I'm a man of unclean lips. Among a people with unclean lips. I mean, lips for him were important because he was called to be kind of God's mouthpiece. And that's why lips were so important. But what are your holy callings? And I don't think necessarily that our holy callings are always, you know, a lifetime calling. They may be but for a period. Now, granted, parenthood is something that is for life, but it has stages. Marriage is a calling. It is a holy calling. But there are other, you know, your job, the thing to which you put your energy, those of you who are employed or those of you who are volunteering, your job can be a holy calling. Is it? What makes something a holy calling? Now, we heard that passage from John's Gospel, that well-known, well-appreciated, and sometimes least understood passage from John's Gospel about being born from above. Being born from above does not mean that a particular point in time, you pray a sinner's prayer and then poof, you are born again from that point on. It's not about the words that you say. It's not about your mind's ability to, you know, to speak doctrine or whatever. It is about how you see, how you approach, how you are in relation to this world that God so loves. Are you, you know, is your understanding, are you seeing things only from below? Or are you seeing a bit from above? My pool from those of you who are quilters here. You know, when you are quilting, if you look underneath the quilt, can you see, you know, as it is being made, what do you see? Does it make sense from underneath? Does it? But it does. You see the design from above. You're seeing the world through God's eyes. You know, it's as impossible as that seems. Have you looked at your job trying to see it through God's eyes? Have you looked at your co-workers trying to see them as best as you can through God's eyes? Is yours a holy calling? Is it a holy calling to work with Hispanic persons, helping them to make it in East Baltimore, Caitlin? Is it a holy calling to go to camp, Mitch, and be a counselor for a summer? We sometimes call counselors at camp, at least back when I was doing camp work, we use that term in loco parentis, which does not mean that you're a crazy parent, but it means you are kind of parent on the scene. You are trying to take on the shepherding and nurturing tasks. Is that a holy calling? Is it a holy calling to lead God's people in song, Eva? Is it a holy calling to teach? Think about the things that you do in life, and I encourage you to try to take that word holy and that word calling and apply it. Now, the truth is, none of us are adequate to the task. None of us. But that's not a requirement, because God makes us adequate. That doesn't mean that we don't put our brain power and our hard work into it. But God is a part of the process. But what's required is the willingness. When God asks, okay, whom shall I send? Simple question. Who will go? Our response is, here am I. Send me.